بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. We have finished Kitab al-Janaiz or funeral prayers, and we move on now to the next chapter, and that is concerning Zakah. Okay? Now, zakah linguistically means what?
To purify,
right? So we call our zakah because of the fact that it purifies our money. And it makes it halal for us to use. And if we don't give zakah, then our money is not halal, it's not pure for us to use. Okay? Zakah is obligatory upon every single Muslim. Every single Muslim that is free, meaning he's not a slave. And he owns the minimum amount known as the nisab. We're going to come to what the minimum is in a little while. But he must own the nisab, the minimum amount known as the nisab. So the first condition is that he must be a Muslim. Obviously, zakat is not obligatory upon non-Muslims. Secondly, he must be free, i.e. not a slave. Thirdly, he must have the minimum amount known as the nisab, right? And if you like, fourthly, he must own that object or that property in a total ownership. He must have complete ownership of what he is, what he must give the zakah upon. طيب. The fifth condition of zakah is that 1 year must go by. Okay, so there are five shurut or five preconditions. What is a shart? A shart is a precondition, right? So there are five conditions of zakah. The first one is that the person must be a Muslim. Second one, he must be free. Third one is what?
Minimum amount,
which is the nisab, which we're going to come to in a little while. And the fourth condition is that he must have total control, the total ownership of. So basically, yani, we're removing from this something which is partly owned or something which you don't have full ownership of. You must have the full ownership of your money or your property or your wealth that you're going to give zakat on. And the last condition is that 1 year must go by since the date of ownership. Okay, basically you have to give zakah once a year. For the fifth condition, there is one exception. So, the fifth condition meaning the 1 year condition. There is one exception, and that is agricultural products. That which the earth gives. Because the zakah for them is the day that you harvest them. Okay? In general, zakah is given once a year. Except for products that the earth produces. The fruits that the earth produces. And concerning that, concerning the time period for that, there is no 1 year time period. Rather, you give zakah the day that you harvest it. Okay? So if you harvest a crop 5 times a year, I don't know any crop that you harvest, I'm just saying theoretically, then you give it every time you harvest. If you harvest a certain crop once every 2-3 years, then you give the zakah every time you harvest that crop. Okay? Apart from that, everything else you need to do or wait the 1 year for. Okay? So then obviously, we didn't mention the person must be of age. We didn't mention this, did we? Okay, why not? Because if a child owns some money, then zakah is still obligatory on that money. Even though the child will not be sinful for not giving that money, but his parents or his guardian, for example, if he's an orphan, okay, the guardian must give zakah on behalf of that. Likewise, a madman. We didn't mention sanity in this case. Why? Because suppose a madman, you know, he's insane, he inherits money, his father or something, that he inherits money. Well, someone, the same person who's responsible for him, must give zakah on his money. So be careful, these shuruq are very important. We didn't mention sanity and we didn't mention of age. Why? Because an insane person or a person who is not of age, zakah must still be given on his money. Even though he is not obligated to give zakah, because he's too young or he's insane, right? You understand the difference? He cannot give zakah, he's too young, but the person in charge of him, his father or his guardian, or you know, his brother, whatever, whoever is in charge of him, he must give zakah on that money. Okay? Now, know that zakah is upon four things. Zakah is obligatory upon four things, for lack of a better word. Okay, zakah is obligatory upon four things. The first thing or the first object upon which you must give zakah are livestock, animals. Okay, and in particular, cows, sheep, and camels. Sheep including goats, by the way. Okay. Cows, sheep, and camels or goats. These are, you have to give zakah on this. And the scholars have a condition here, and that is that you are responsible for feeding them they are naturally fed. In other words, you lead them to pastures. Okay? Versus, what is the opposite of that? When you feed them yourselves, when you provide the water and drink, when you have to give them food and drink. Okay? So the scholars say that upon these three categories of animals, which are, what are these three categories? First one is, the largest one is a camel. Second one is a cow. Okay? And then the third one is a sheep or a goat. Basically, the sheep or a goat, both male and female, doesn't matter. And the scholars have a condition here, and that is that they are naturally fed off of the earth. In other words, you lead them to pastures. Okay? Whereas if you house them and you feed them, you have to provide for their food. In this case, the scholars say, there is no zakah. That is the first thing that you have to give zakah on. The second thing that you have to give zakah on are agricultural products, that which the earth produces. Okay? Now, for these two things, for these two categories, we are not going to go into any detail whatsoever. And this is very sad, but our time does not permit us to do so. We won't go into any detail because each of them have their own nisab and they have their own ways of calculating them and they have ways of giving it out. But the point is, the brother should know if they ever own livestock or if they ever are harvesting, they have a farm and they're producing agricultural, produce or whatever from the earth, then they should go to a scholar or a student of knowledge and find out what is the minimum nisab and what is the zakat that you give. And all of this is clearly laid out in the Quran and the Sunnah. What is the minimum nisab of the camel and the goat and the sheep and the cows and how much you give. If you have this many, you give this much. If you have this many, you give this much. Likewise, it goes on and on. Unfortunately, we don't have the time to get into both the agricultural and the livestock. But we should know it and be aware of it. Be aware of it. That if we ever own animals or if we ever have a farm, then we should go to a scholar or a student of knowledge and find out how we should give zakah on our what we own. The third thing that you have to give zakah on is, guess, money, gold and silver, or cash, dollars, dinaros, whatever you want to call them. You have to give zakah on money. The fourth thing that you have to give zakah on are business products, okay? Business, if you own a business, for example. Okay? So, if you have a shop and it has, you're selling, let's say, furniture. Okay? Then you have to give zakah on the furniture that you're selling. Okay? So, business products, basically. And we're gonna talk about the last two in a little bit of detail, inshallah. Okay, so now, so you understand. So, what does this, by the way, before we move on, what does this remove? Do we have to give zakah on our houses that we own? No, we don't. We don't. Because it doesn't come under one of these four things. Do we have to give zakah on the clothes that we wear? No. Do we have to give zakah on the Rolex watch that we own? Yeah, right. No. Do we have to give zakah on our glasses, on our pots, on our pans, on our furniture that we use in our house? No. Right, do you understand this? Remember, every time we discuss something, think of the opposite of that. This is the whole point of fiqh. I've just told you what you have to give zakah on. Your mind should be working well that everything else I don't have to give zakah on. Okay? We've just said these are the four things that you have to give zakah on. Anything besides this, you don't have to give zakah on that. Okay? Your car, you have to give zakah on your car. Suppose you own three or four cars, but you own them all. You own them and you use them. No. Doesn't matter. Suppose you own two or three houses, one in Japan, one in Switzerland, and one in America. And you use them. They're not for business purposes. You're using them. Okay? In a sense, you're multimillionaire. You're living 1 week here, 1 week there. Do you have to give zakah on those? No. It should be clear. You have to give zakah on these four items only. Everything else besides them, there is no zakah on those items. Okay? Okay. So now we move on to, we're skipping zakah of agricultural products and zakah of what? Livestock. We are skipping this. I'm very unfortunate, sad that we have to do so, but our time does not permit us to go into detail with regards to those things. Okay. Now we move on to the zakah of money. Now, money, obviously, in the good old times, it was pure gold or silver, and in our times, it's dollars and cents. Okay. All the scholars are unanimous that the dollars and cents, they have the same hukum or the same ruling as gold and silver. Don't think that, well, the hadith mentioned gold and silver, well, this is, paper money, I don't have to give zakah on it. No. Basically, it's the currency of the time. Whatever you're using as currency. So first thing we have to discuss is, what is the nisab? What is the nisab? Firstly, define nisab. What is nisab, ya, at the back? You don't know what a nisab is. Do you know, Uthman, what a nisab is? We just defined it 2 minutes ago. What is the bare minimum that you have to have in order for you to pay zakah? So if you have below the nisab, do you have to pay zakah?
No.
If you have below this amount, then you don't have to pay zakah. If you have above this amount or this amount, you have exactly the amount of the nisab, then you have to give zakah. Okay? Now the hadith mentioned certain weights here. And to be honest, I don't recall offhand the conversion factors. So I'll just give you the weights, and inshallah, I'll ask some of the people of knowledge here in Houston, and inshallah, I'll try to give you the conversion factors to give you the exact conversion factor. The nisab for gold is 20 mithqals. Just write down the Arabic phrase for now. 20 mithqals. And they are roughly 80-something grams of gold, okay? But I'm going to give you an exact figure, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Roughly 80 grams. You can just say in brackets, a rough 80 to 85 grams of gold of our times, okay? I'll get a more precise figure, inshallah, in the next lecture, bi'idhnillah, that there are 20 mithqals of gold, okay? Just write mithqals. Mithqals. And the nisab of silver is 200 dirhams. Just write 200 dirhams, and there a few hundred grams of silver. I don't remember offhand right now. A few hundred grams of silver. There are 200 dirhams of gold. If you have 200 silver, excuse me, 200 dirhams of silver. Naam. Okay. I calculated in riyals once. It was like 2,000 riyals or something. 2,000 riyals. Basically, $700-$800. Just don't write this down. I'm just giving you a rough idea. It's roughly like $700-$800, like $1,000. If a person owns more than this amount, okay, then he has to give zakah. And I'll give you, inshallah, a more precise figure in the future. Okay. But the point is, this is the bare minimum that he must have. And if he has below the nisab, then he doesn't have to give zakah. If he has the nisab or more than the nisab, then he must give zakah. Now, how do you calculate your zakah? How do you calculate your zakah? The first thing you have to do is you have to set a date of the year, because you have to have 1 year from that date, right? So suppose you have to set a date or a month, and every year you have to give it the same time. So suppose you set, for convenience, you set your date as the 1st of Muharram. Okay, the 1st of Muharram. Obviously realize it's the Islamic date. If you go by the Gregorian date, then your year will be longer. Every Christian year is 11 days longer than the Muslim year. Okay, or 10 or 11 or 12, depending on, you know, each year. But every Christian year is longer than the Muslim year. So you have to go by the Muslim year. And many scholars say it's good to give it in Ramadan because you get extra reward. You know what I mean? You guys will give it in Ramadan. So suppose you choose, let's say, not Muharram but Ramadan. So in the beginning of this year, or the Ramadan of this year, suppose you had $10,000. Okay? Next Ramadan comes and you have $15,000. And it kept on going up. Okay, after you gave your rent and you bought your clothes and you gave your gas and insurance, everything that you have to give, it just kept on going up until you reached $15,000 after one Ramadan. Then you have to give zakah on the minimum amount that you had throughout the year, which was how much? 5. 10. 10 to 15. So the minimum amount that you always had was 10,000. You always had $10,000 in your bank account. Okay? So you have to give zakah on 10,000, not 15,000. Suppose though, that you started off at 10,000, right? And then something happened. Some operation had to, you know, some operation had to pay for yourself, for your family. And that went you down, made you go down to 5,000. And then by next Ramadan, you went back up to 15,000. Okay? You had an investment that gave you a lot of money and you got 15,000. How much zakat do you have to give now? On 5,000. Basically, what you do, to put it very simply, if you want, you know, to be very simple and yet complicated at the same time, plot out a chart of your money every day. Right? Just theoretically imagine what we're doing. You plot out a chart of your money every day. The lowest point on that chart was the bare minimum amount that you had for 1 year. Okay? So for one whole year, you had at least that amount. You never went below that amount. That is the amount that you have to give your zakah on. Okay? That is the amount that you have to give your zakah on. Not the maximum, but the minimum. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the minimum amount that we have for 1 year that was in our ownership, that is what we have to give zakah on. Okay, so suppose we, you know, we just started working, okay? We just graduated out of college, which means our bank account is in three digits, okay? You know, we have like $600 in, you know, in our bank account at U of H or something. And then you start making a lot of money. By the end of the year, you have, let's say, $30,000, okay? What do you have to give zakah on? $600 if it's more than the nisab, which I'm not sure how much it is in dollars. But if it's more than the nisab, you have to give it on that. Otherwise, you don't have to give zakah. Next year, you have to now calculate again for that year. What was the minimum for that year? Okay, so this, every year you have to calculate the minimum that was for that year. Okay, is that clear? Anyone confused? Because it's very important how you calculate your zakah. Okay, Obviously, you give zakah in money, in the sense that, you know, you have to pay money to the poor people. We're going to get to who is deserving of zakah in the next chapter. But that is clear that you calculate the minimum amount for the year, and then you pay concerning the minimum amount. What is the amount of zakah? What is the percentage of zakah? Everyone knows? 2.5%, and this is based on a clear hadith of the Prophet that for every 40 dirhams there is, how much? For 40 dirhams, how much would you give? It's 2.5.
One.
One. Yeah. The Prophet said, for every 40, there's one. Because 1/40 is? 2.5. Right. Is that correct? No, 1/40 is not 2.5. It's more than that.
No, 1/40 is 2.5.
It is? Okay, if it is, then it's 1/40. Basically, the Prophet said, out of 40, give whatever is 2.5, which is 1. So if you calculate the percentage, it's 2.5. So whatever the bare minimum is, then you give your 2.5% on that. Okay? Tayyib. How about gold and silver that a woman owns and she wears? Basically, her jewelry. Well, firstly, how about pearls? Who says you have to give zakah on emeralds and diamonds and rubies and pearls? Who says you have to give zakah on these? I'm sure none of the sisters are going to say yes. They don't want to give any zakah on that. Well, the correct opinion is you don't have to give zakah on these. Why? Because it's not mentioned. We didn't mention any of these four things, right? It doesn't come under gold and silver. Okay, jewelry in the sense of pearls and diamonds and emeralds and all of these precious stones, right? As long as it's for personal use, because when you change it into a business, then it gets into what? Another category, business category, which are the business products. But as long as you purchase something for your own use, right? Or you're using it, you're not buying and trading and selling and exchanging this type of jewelry. You have a jewelry shop. No, if you're using it for your own use, then for sure. No one says you have to give zakah on these precious stones when you own them. Okay? Now the difference of opinion comes concerning gold and obviously silver. Gold and silver jewelry that women wear. Okay? We're not talking about gold and silver that are sold in the shops, and if you own the shop you have to give zakah. Of course you do. Everyone says you do. Why? Because it changes from it changes from personal money to business money. And we said business money as zakah. We'll talk about that briefly, the business zakah. But we're talking about personal gold and silver. When the sisters, or even brothers, if they have something silver that they have, do they have to give zakah on that? And the correct opinion is yes, they do. They have to give zakah on gold and silver jewelry that they own. This is because it is a type of money. A type of money that the Prophet ﷺ referred to. And he explicitly told I think it was Fatima, or one of the Prophet's family, that would you like that Allah? He asked her, "Do you give zakah on your bangles that you're wearing?" Okay, and she said, "No." So he said, "Would you like that Allah puts two bracelets of fire on you on the Day of Judgment?" So she said, "No." So she gave the whole thing as sadaqah, as charity, out of her fear of and her love for Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. But the point is, this hadith and many hadith are explicit that the Prophet told the woman, even though she's wearing gold jewelry. She is wearing gold jewelry. It's not gold coins. She was wearing it. He told her, "Would you like that Allah, exchange this on the Day of Judgment for two bangles of fire?" Okay. So it's clear then that gold and silver jewelry, there is zakat on that. And strangely enough, this is the opinion of the minority, not the majority. The majority say that there is no zakat on gold and silver jewelry. Only the Hanafis, they say that there is zakah on gold and silver. And so the book that I have in front of me, which is a Hanbali book, says there is no gold, there is no zakah. But the correct opinion, and this is the fatwa of Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, Sheikh Uthaymeen, hafidhahullah, and other ulama of our times. And really this is very explicit, because the hadith explicitly mentioned this, that there is zakah on gold and silver jewelry. So when a sister owns gold above the nisab, and every single sister I think owns above the nisab in our times, they have to give zakah on that jewelry. Okay? Tayyib, zakah on money was very simple, and we don't want to go into a lot of detail. But a brief point on a debt. Suppose you have a debt. This is a very common question. Okay, so there's two people involved in a debt. One of them is the one that gives the money, and the other is the one that obviously takes the money. Okay, so suppose now we have Muhammad and let's say Amr. Okay, Muhammad lent Amr $10,000. Okay? Obviously without interest, because if he lent it with interest, then it's a big, big, big sin. And it's not even allowed for him to say that. It's not even allowed for him to give that condition that he's going to be with interest. Without interest, he lends him $10,000. Okay, who is going to give zakah on this money, Muhammad or Amr? Muhammad did the lending, Amr did the taking. Okay? Okay, now in this, again, there's a big ikhtilaf, but I'll just give you, in my humble opinion, as I always say, the correct opinion that I have. And that is that, well, firstly, it is Muhammad that must give the zakah, without any doubt, because it is his money. He is the one that lent it to him, but he is the one that has full ownership of it. Okay, we said one of the conditions of zakah is that he must have ownership of it, right? So, it's whose money is it? It's Muhammad's money.